everyone, and welcome to another Bite, where we rewatch the most innovative and intriguing pitches from Shark Tank. I'm Jory, and I'm joined by the jovial John.
Feeling extra jovial today. How come you're not jovial Jory?
You know, I never give myself epithets, and I think that's where I'm struggling, John, so maybe next time. Why are hairdressers never late for work? They know all the shortcuts, of course. That's right. Today's product could have you saying, new hair, don't care. Will the sharks take a bite or will negotiations get hairy? I'll tell you more after this brief sponsored break. There's no secret formula for better service throughout the customer journey, but there is the all-new Service Hub from HubSpot. By bringing service and support together in one powerful platform, you can deliver the best experiences for your customers and your teams. Free up time for your reps to focus on complex issues with an AI-powered help desk. Also, you can easily support, strengthen, and grow your customer base. Secrets out, HubSpot Service Hub is a game changer. Visit HubSpot.com/service to do more for your customers today. Today in the tank, we have The Mint by The Ritualist. And this is brought to us by founder Dawn, who's asking for $150,000 for 10% in her business, which is a whopping $1.5 million valuation. Now, the problem that The Mint is trying to solve is that highly textured hair can take hours to style. So the solution is a new tool that quickly detangles hair while also letting you use your own and like favorite products. So essentially how you can think about this as like sort of like a hair straightener, but with special prongs that are especially designed for like really curly hair. And then you have this pod that goes into it and you can fill the pod with like whatever kind of conditioner or oils you're wanting to use. And that can kind of streamline your hairstyling.
Yeah, it's like a K-cup. You know, it's like a Keurig machine, yeah, I think, you know.
For conditioner.
You can put decaf in, you can put green tea, you can put all sorts of things in.
Your favorite oils.
Yeah.
So essentially she's selling like the hardware, but then also the pods as part of her product. So thinking about our product, our pitch, and our founder, John, initial thoughts of The Mint.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think this is a really amazing market. I have a wife who has very curly hair, and it is like the highest spend on hair care part of the market because they're always looking for ways to get a breakthrough on managing curly hair because curly hair is really hard to manage. So number one, just like pretty amazing market. And despite there being lots of products on it, it's kind of an underserved market because most of the products don't actually break through and solve the core problems. So I feel good about the market. I thought Dawn was an amazing entrepreneur.
Yes.
Her story was really good. She's basically been like persistent in developing hardware, which is really hard to do. She's been out there developing point of view on the business plan for a while. I think she was on Techstars. Like she's done a bunch of things to like really help shape a great business plan. She's a lawyer. So she's just going to be super sharp, I think, at how to actually like manage through the complexities of scaling a hardware business. And I think she just has like really good and interesting insights on how to go to market. Like I could see her being a founder brand herself, right? Like her personality was such that you're like, oh, I could see Dawn being really popular and really being part of the reason that people want to buy The Mint and be part of kind of the Ritualist system if she ends up making the Ritualist system. So amazing market, amazing entrepreneur. The question is it an amazing product? That I don't know yet. It seems like she might be onto something. Definitely got some head nods from the sharks. And I think, again, this market's always open to trying things. But I think the proof will really be in whether or not she can scale up sales of it. It's very early.
Yeah, she's only sold as of Shark Tank like 50 units. So it's still really new in her like entrepreneur
journey. Super early. So like, we don't know if we have product market fit on it yet. And number two, I think the ultimate test will be, do people end up repurchasing pods, right? That will be the real test of whether or not there's loyalty on this product. And if there's loyalty, the product is good. And I think it will crank. If people like try it and it doesn't really work, it might go sideways. So I think that's the open question. And I would be willing to make a bet on it if the price was right. So those are my thoughts.
Great thoughts. So I agree with you on a lot. The pitch and the founder ticked a lot of my initial boxes. It was totally the underdog story where she was like, you know, I went into being a lawyer and was crushing it, but there was this problem that really sat with me. And that's what inspired this journey. It was almost like a hero's journey kind of playing out in front of us where it's just like, no, she has this passion and she's made it her whole life's pursuit, even when she got no's. the pods made me pause, for lack of a better word, just because I felt like this was a business where it's like, I didn't even think anything of the selling price being $400. You know, you get your Dyson air wraps, you've got your just like really high retail expensive hair dryers and curlers. And so the price wasn't actually that strange to me, but I was curious. It seems like this founder is really leaning into trying to get a subscription model going for hardware. And it felt like
it was for the pods,
I'm so
right?
exhausted with subscription. Right. So it's like for the continual use of products with your Mint.
Yeah.
But I'm so sick of hearing subscriptions. I just wanted her to sell.
Subscription hater.
I am. I think that this is kind of a situation where it feels like someone told the founder, like, subscriptions are the business model of the future. And she's trying way too early to try to like pave the way for that business model, that she's losing focus on the fact that she could just make a ton of money selling Mint if she gets her marketing and product positioning correct.
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. Is she too early on trying to monetize the subscription service? And maybe the right path is actually to just say, can I sell a lot of these? And can I get people to like just come back to the website and repurchase pods and not lock themselves into a multi-month deal? So I think establishing that Ritualist is a hair care system is really smart. Mm-hmm. I think it kind of depends if she's getting uptick on the subscription. Mm-hmm. If people are like right off the bat, if they're willing to buy the subscription, sure, why not? If that's causing conversion rate to drop, then maybe not.
Not worth it. So I think the sharks, some of them were on board, some of them not so much. I think when most of the sharks started backing out, it was mostly because they either were a little iffy on the subscription model or they just weren't in the space. It was so funny because Kevin was like, I don't have hair, therefore I'm out. You love to see a humble moment from Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah.
But it was really ultimately Emma and Mark that sort of came together as a power couple. Usually we see Mark and Lori most, mm-hmm. but they offered $150,000 for 20%. She mentioned that she had brought on previous investors. And I think this is a situation where when you come onto Shark Tank with previous investment, there's like that issue of watering down valuations. So she really tried to negotiate to protect her investors. But Mark offered 5% of his deal to be advisory shares. So that was ultimately enough to like sweeten the deal and get this founder on board. So she did seal a deal with Emma and Mark for $150,000 for 20%.
The deal there is if you make a deal with investors to sell them a portion of your equity, mm-hmm. then you set a valuation of your company.
Right.
So if you sell 10% of your company for $1, your company is worth $10. Now, if you go on Shark Tank and you sell 10% of your company for $5, then that means that the shares that that first round of investors bought mm-hmm. are valued down. They're no longer worth a dollar. You're basically saying, hey, you gave me money before and we agreed on how much these shares that I sold you were worth. And now I'm coming back and I'm saying, actually, like, they're not worth that much. And that can create some complexity in both momentum of the business, investor happiness, a whole bunch of things like that. And so the proposal from Mark was to say, well, why don't we do some of it through advisory shares? And what advisory shares do is two things. Number one is it allows them to give away shares of the company without revaluing it. Mm. So essentially what they said is, sure, we will accept your, you know, $10 valuation of the company, but I want more equity than what my money would buy at that valuation. And the founder is able to give away shares of the company without impacting the valuation of the company. So that's one thing that advisory shares do. Another thing that advisory shares do, in theory, is typically advisory shares are time-based. They're not all given up front since no money's exchanged for them. The value exchange between an advisor in this case and an entrepreneur is the exchange of expertise. And so typically with advisory shares, you say, not just going to give them to you all up front, you've got to earn them. Mm-hmm. And our agreement is that you have to do this level of involvement with our company on this frequent of a basis in order to earn your payout there. And they pay out over 3 or 4 years, or sometimes less, sometimes a year. So those are the two things that doing advisory shares can get you versus just straight up being like, here's a check, give me shares.
Yeah. So theoretically, like, say benefit of the doubt, but like, say like Emma and Mark, like don't deliver, right? Like they're not responsive, or like they decide that their team's going to handle dealing with a founder. So technically, couldn't advisory shares then be like taken back? Like, is that part of those types of contracts?
Well, they're just never given.
So they just don't vest.
They don't vest. Exactly.
That makes sense. Yep. Interesting. So would you advise, I know you're not a lawyer, but like if you were like advising people on the types of deals they should be going after, it sounds like actually advisory shares are like a super sweet deal.
So John Dick Esquire, exactly. Well, here's what I would say. Getting advisory shares can be great because you don't have to give them money to get those shares.
Cool.
So that is amazing. But there's downsides to advisory shares. Often they don't give you any sort of voting control.
Okay.
And so they often don't come with that. They often don't come with the same level of access to dividends. Sometimes they have different payouts associated with them. So there are some downsides to doing advisory shares. Like, I think the best thing if you're an investor and you want to put money in is to put in straight cash for full equity and to get the best possible deal. I think the second best path is to say, okay, I'll do a mix of equity and advisory shares.
Makes sense. Okay. I'm going to take this and flip it on its head because you were just our lawyer, but can you be our marketer? Looking at their website, I was curious about your initial thoughts. Do you think this is a well-optimized website? Is this something that's going to be, you know, optimized to make people buy? Or do you have some initial recommendations they could consider when thinking about the content or the layout of their site?
Well, number one, it looks premium. And so I think that's a really good sign.
Even just the logo and the font.
Yeah, the logo looks good. The color scheme is kind of premium. Clean, it's got like video running in the background of just
we
like
love a JavaScript
awesome
moment.
Looking people. Mm-hmm. Like so good. They have an email newsletter pop up, which I really like. Mm-hmm. Grow that database. I think it's super smart to get people to just be like, oh yeah, I totally want to join the database. Because if you get people in your database, you can sell to them later. If they're just visitors, you have to retarget them with paid ads. So get those emails, everybody. The barrier to entry to create a physical product has gone way down, you know, because entrepreneurs around the world have figured out that they can kind of directly contract with factories around the world and they can produce small batches of things, which is exactly what she did. You know, so I think having some social proof in the form of like, oh, it was on Shark Tank, featured in Essence, that adds a little
extra
credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love that she's basically running influencer videos on the bottom.
Yeah.
I think it's like really cool.
Yeah, the video content on this website is just also super stellar.
Yeah.
And I think helps because sometimes with hair care hardware, it can be sort of hard to understand how they work.
Like, how am I supposed to use it? Do I stick it
in
there?
Yeah, exactly. So she's like dispelled a bunch of myths by having four different videos showing like four different use cases of it. So immediately, you know exactly how this product works.
She's also created this really cool comparison chart.
Yes.
Which you see more often in B2B than B2C. But actually is incredibly effective of just straight up saying like, here's the mint.
Here's all the benefits.
Here's the alternatives. Here's what the mint does. Do the alternatives do those things? You know, it's not a transactional purchase. You're spending $400 to pre-order the thing. It's a considered purchase. And so I think she's starting out by saying, this is a premium brand, which means it's going to be quality. It's got credibility because it's been featured on a bunch of sites. Check out the way to actually use it with these user-generated content videos. And lastly, if you're trying to figure out like what the benefits of the mint are versus like all the alternatives you use on a daily basis, here's the features. Mm-hmm. And so maybe the only thing I would advise would be I might put a chat widget in the lower right
like
so that people could pre-order right through chat.
Very
And
quickly.
You could just run an AI bot on that. Like the CTA disappears as you scroll down. She has a bunch of CTAs in there, but I just have a CTA that sticks with it.
And also it gives you access to, like if you have a chatbot and they just have questions, you could easily repurpose your blog content that way too.
Yep.
So look at that. The Mint, John Esquire and John the Marketer approved. Production for today's episode was brought to you by Ari DeSarmo. Editing comes from Robert Hartwig and support from Alfred Schultz. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or wherever you subscribe to the greatest podcasts ever. That does it for me. See you next week in the tank for another bite. Create Like the Greats, hosted by Ross Simmons, is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. Each episode hosts an in-depth analysis of some of the greatest creations and creators of all time, along with deep dive conversations on the creative process that went into building companies and brands. If you like learning about history or learning about the creative process, you'll like this podcast. Listen to Create Like the Greats wherever you get your podcasts.